Alan Kring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2019. Lecture 1, delivered on April 15, 2019. The title of this lecture is Cash Flow Estimation and Risk Analysis.
Today, cash flow estimation and risk analysis. Before I do that, I want to show you something about how markets work and how you can read a story behind a story. We have a company like Lyft that is clearly tanking hard and fast. Now, as it tanks, you have short interest building. That in itself is an indication of extraordinary lack of confidence, especially if you look at what the short interest is specifically on stocks. However, there's something else that you also want to watch for as well. Let's have a look here. I'm going to have to do this because I don't have my bookmarks. I'm looking for the short interest, not on the NASDAQ. Short squeeze. I have a site that I'm not sure I'm going to be able to see it here. Short interest, is this what I want? Oh, 7,000. Let's try to see if I can find it. Well, we can do this. No interest. Well, that should not be. That's not true at all. Short interest list. Short interest. Oh, maybe this will do it. Oh, here we go. Okay, now this is a list of short interest outstanding on stocks. Now, this is unfortunately a little behind. But if we wanted to look at something, here's Tesla, a company that is clearly not one of Wall Street's favorites right now. Another company that has all kinds of stuff that it says it's going to do. Tesla, half of the company is almost just vaporware, but vapor cars. But Tesla is now sitting at 266.38. This is short interest outstanding. Where the heck did I, where was Tesla? Oh, there it is. Okay. That data right there. This is the percent of the stock that is now in a short position. So in Tesla's case, 27.7% of all the shares outstanding have been borrowed by short sellers betting that the price is going to go down. They think that the price will fall and they will make money off their position. 266.38, it will fall from there. They borrowed it at 266.38 or something like that. They are going to watch this price, they want the price to fall so that they can cover, buy it at, let's say, 250. And then they will have made the spread between the price at which they borrowed it and the price at which they recovered themselves to buy it back, to give back to where they got it. Okay? Great strategy until everyone does it. You see all these shorts out there? 32,740,424. they all need to cover. They're short, so they're going to have to buy to cover their position. Now, if you were an economics genius, or even you'd taken a microeconomics course, what would you say is going to happen, sir, when all of those short positions cover? All of them are going to buy hard to cover their butts, and it's going to shoot the price back up. And they will probably not cover where they want it. In a panic, as the price begins to rise, they're going to buy hard to get out from under their short positions. And so 37 million shares are potentially could be bought in the next few days. So, well, Tesla is going down, so I'm going to go short. Yeah, and you'll probably lose your shirt because the bulls are going to run the shorts out. The experienced players are just going to let that momentum downward build on the short positions. And then when all of them suddenly realize, uh-oh, it's not going down anymore, they all panic and they start to cover at the same time. The demand for Tesla goes up and the price lifts right back up like that. The shorts lose their shirts, kind of. And you see a price pop. And then, of course, the analyst will say, well, see, we told you Tesla was a good stock, and now everyone's buying it, so it wasn't the bad stock everyone said it was. No, that has nothing to do with the fundamentals. That has nothing to do with the fundamentals. And that's what this is all about. When I teach a course, don't play technical games and don't listen to the analyst, and don't follow a herd that is in a maniacal mood. They're going short Tesla, and when all of them go short, they're going to just drive that stock right down through the ground. Now, you can't bet this all the time. The first thing you want to do is look at the percent of float. That's going to be a little bit of a warning there that there could be a run out of the shorts. And I see some here that I don't recognize. Therapeutics MD, that's a very heavy short position. Look at the days to cover. 35. I mean, anything above 4 is probably a bad idea. But these guys, these shorts are holding and holding and holding, hoping the stock is going to go down so they make some money off their short position. And they can't cover in over a month. They've been hanging out there on average over a month. Another one is Frontier Communication. Yes, Frontier has never been a very safe bet. It wasn't a good idea. Frontier made some stupid moves like buying trash that Verizon was throwing away, like downstate internet service. And so Frontier, yeah, we'll take it. Wow, we'll offer high-speed internet in the face of the hurricane of Comcast and all these other little players like Metro pouring in. Frontier is losing its shirt. Of course it's going to die. But at the same time, you're asking for it. When you've got a short position that far out there, sooner or later, panic will set in and Frontier will suddenly start going up in price simply because the shorts are going to give up, take their losses, and hope for the best. Now, this is where fundamentals come in. Bed Bath & Beyond, BBBY. It's fundamentally, do any of you shop at Bed Bath & Beyond? Oh, yeah. Well, I do, too. I mean, they've got great, you know, after-bath powders and things like that. Oh, and the linens, I mean, that 36-stitch count, I mean, that's to die for. Bed Bath & Beyond has announced that it's going to close 40 stores. Okay, wonderful. That's not a horrible thing. And then Bed Bath & Beyond went on to announce that it's going to try to be radical. It's going to try to follow the Target model, cut down on some of the stuff in the stores there now, and put in food, for heaven's sakes. I never thought I'd hear about Bed Bath & Beyond selling food. It's also going to lay off selling expensive name brand stuff and start making better margins trying to sell its own label of the same things, which has been successful in some cases, but it's also been terribly unsuccessful in other cases. Trying to force people to buy something that's a house brand instead of some quality name that you know hasn't always worked so well. People just don't want that stuff because they associate it with cheapness in a lot of situations. So this may be another kind of play that would be worth your while to think about. Bed Bath & Beyond, it's got a serious short position out there. Yes, it's had bad earnings. It's missed its earnings and all of that. But the question is this. Is this company really that bad? Well, let's see what the market thinks. Well, we can go BBBY. Whoops, that's five letters. BBBY. Okay, it's $16.08. The estimate right now is $16.88, and a year will go to $17.73. It pays a dividend of 3.78%. And the beta actually is pretty darn high on that thing. But even if these analysts are right and it pops only, what, 1773, and again, I'm doing this so that you can see it over and over again, 1773 divided by 1688, minus one, that's the annual capital gain yield, 5%. You add to that a 3.78% dividend. Oh well, let's time this by 100, and then add to that a 3.78% dividend. You've got an 8.82% return. That's certainly lower than it should be with a beta that high. Is that enough for you to short sell this stock? Probably not. If you'll look here, let's do the 5-day on Bed Bath & Beyond. You had a bear surge right there on the earnings. And then it floated. And then you had a real butt smack today, early on at the end. But you're seeing that there's a trend downward. Is that enough for a 37% float, short float? No, by no means. So sometimes that can fool you. If you go down just a little further, and this will be the last couple I do, this is almost to the point where this could be a company that's dead. If it's dead, you're not going to make any money off your short. Oh, God. What's Go-Go? Does anyone know what Go-Go is?
Isn't that the Wi-Fi in the airport?
It is?
Wi-Fi?
I mean, there was something in my time, they called them Go-Go boots. Boy, look at that pop that it did there, and then it's easing off. Now that the wonder of it is gone. Profile. It's got an earnings call in just a couple of weeks. In-flight broadband connectivity. Yes, you are right. Well, isn't that interesting? Really?
Yeah, that's office. It's like the same office as Salesforce.
It's up in Chicago. Hey, maybe we ought to do a field trip up there. Me, at that price of stock, maybe they just give us some to thank us for being interested in them. I shouldn't do that. That's evil. Well, no, it's not. Federal Reserve allowed us to take shredded money last week. That was kind of cool. And it's at 456, and analysts are predicting that it's going to go to 292. So the analysts are claiming this is going to drop hard. The company does not. Okay, let's let very quickly, and I hate doing this, but my, let's see the GoGo financials. I shouldn't do it from here. I should look at the SEC. Total revenue is rising strongly. That's almost $400 million on 3 years. So over the last 3 years, the revenues have built by about 80%. Their profits are going, their gross is going up. SG&A. They're closing their net operating income loss. They're closing their net loss. They took a butt bath last year. That's a technical term. But they're closing the gap this year. Where did they lose all the money? Where was the blood? Now, this is what we're getting to today. I'm trying to lead you toward what we're doing today. This is cash flow analysis, the estimation of cash flows. In this company, what we would do is the first thing is we'd say, all right, let's talk about cash flows here. Matter of fact, why don't I pull up GoGo? I mean, GoGo is actually kind of a cool name for a company. So let's see if these short interest folks are really telling the truth. But one thing that I want to do before I go on is Lyft is not the only company that is going public in that sector. Uber has announced that it's going to go public. And Uber is losing money, and it made a rather odd statement last Friday, I think. Uber's executive said that Uber may never be profitable. Uber may never be profitable. Now, you look like an intelligent investor. I want you to invest in my company. It may never be profitable, but please buy my stock at a very high price. Well, what do you say to me? You're too polite. You know, you say, go away, you pervert. You selling, overvalued stock? What do you mean it'll never be profitable? That's my residual claim. You're saying that I'll never have any money in my claim, and yet you want me to buy stock in this so that I can have a residual claim that does not exist? Ever? You might? Well, you're being awfully polite, you know? I got some places I could probably have you talk to about buying stock. No, that was my old life. I won't do that anymore. Although, if you're interested, no. Okay, Uber is saying we may never be profitable. Well, that's kind of disappointing that they want you to buy. They're hyping up an offering of stock for a company that may never be profitable. And here was Lyft. Lyft just went public, Uber's main competitor, and Lyft is already dying on the vine. Its stock is crashing through the ground. You see here, as you said, no thank you, politely. You know, in my business, we would be polite by saying bite me. Anyway, let me pull something up here. I don't think Uber has put out any financials yet. I'm going to check something real quick here. If it has, that would be kind of worthwhile. Uber financials. Ooh, they've reported. I shouldn't have clicked CNBC. That was a mistake, but see, they're going to tell you all about it, but are they going to show you the financials? Nope, they're not. So I need to find, see if I can find someplace. Those are fourth quarter. Uber revenues, 17 through 18, growth, gross profit, EBITDA, that's earnings before interest and taxes and depreciation and amortization. Uber gross, Uber net, well, that doesn't make sense. They said they'd never be profitable, but there's 987. They don't have a trading symbol yet, do they? Let me check something real quick. I'm going to go to the SEC, and I'll have a look here at something. And I'm going to look to see if Uber has initial filings at all. Uber? Huh. I can't tell. See, that's one of the problems with typing in a name. You get all these different companies. I don't see any of those that look like the Uber. Well, maybe that is it. There's a Oh, look at that. Uber filed a Reg D in 2008. Remember what I told you a Reg D was? It's an exemption from registration for private placement of stock. You need to know that for the final. I will ask about Reg Ds. Remember there was the Reg D 504, the million-dollar offering that can create freely tradable stock, and then there are these private placements, Reg Ds, under Regulation D, the Reg D 505 and the Reg D 506. Uber did a pair of these. No, it didn't. It did one, and then it amended it. In 2008, but that's the last direct financial information that has been reported. Yeah. The, of what? The Regulation D. That was like 5 or 6 weeks ago. You see, you have to file a registration statement to sell securities. You have to file it with the Securities and Exchange Commission and the states in which you are planning to offer and sell. However, there are some exemptions from registration. You have to meet certain criteria to do it. Like, for example, the Reg D 504, it creates freely tradable stock, but you can raise only up to $1 million doing it. That was one of the things that I, one of the my favorites, that's how I got companies' money, was by doing Reg D 504 exemptions. But you also have to register in the states, and some states don't accept that federal thing. You have to file some special form with those states. Now, the Reg D 505 and the 506 are pure private placements. You're selling stock, but that stock is restricted stock. In other words, people who buy that stock can't sell it. They become basically inside owners. Now, ultimately, if a full, true registration statement, like on S-1, is filed, they can put that into the registration statement to register that old stock, which I would bet Uber is going to do here. They're going to wrap that public offering with this private stock. Now, the 505 and the 506, you have to meet. You can sell only to certain types of investors. They have, in general, just think they have to be sophisticated. They have to be well-advised. They can't be your typical people. Now, there's a trick under there, and you might remember I talked about bundling. Now, bundling in a private placement means that you are a great investor. You're well-heeled. You've got your PhD in finance after you took a course from this incredible professor, and you've been making millions. Well, now, you've got some people who aren't doing so well. You know, they tried to, but, you know, their majors in college and just generally life. Easy girl. No. Yeah, you're actually a decent major. I mean, but the thing, though, is that you can actually bundle them under you so that they could participate in the private placement as underneath you, because the presumption being that you can provide them with the sophistication that they may lack themselves. That's the idea of the bundling idea. But 505s and 506s are generally restricted stock. They can't be sold by the owners unless they are subsequently registered on another offering or a registration statement called Form 10, or an offering like a Form S-1. Now, there's another exemption from registration called the Regulation A, or the Reg A. We used to call it the Bob Marley because it's a Reg A. And you can raise money with that one, but again, restricted stock comes out of it. Now, here, Uber, I'm trying to, just very quickly, a paper document, excuse me, what the heck is that? What is that supposed to mean, even? This document was generated part of a paper submission. So they submitted, well, this was 2008. So this was long enough ago that they probably could have pulled that off instead of using the Edgar electronic system. So we don't know anything about this, but this is probably insider stock. That was how Uber started. It got money from, you know, investors in a private placement, probably on a Reg D 506. And now it's probably going to put those insider shares into the offering and get them registered so those people can start selling out some of their position to suckers. But anyway, very quickly here, let me take you over here. I do want to get to something else here. Now, this is Lyft. Let's see. Well, no, I don't think I'm going to do Lyft because Lyft will make me sad. Bed Bath & Beyond makes me happy. Especially when I go in there and get some of that cutlery. Oops. I didn't do that right. Okay, here's an 8K, just to quickly check. And what I'm doing now is taking you towards the end of the course when I can't do any more for you, but I can start showing you, make sure that you know what you want to look at. You're going to the SEC.gov, Edgar filings, and then you're going to start picking off interesting statements. Now, we've got a proxy there. There's clearly a group outside of Bed Bath & Beyond that's trying to do a proxy fight. They are not, it seems, trying to take over Bed Bath & Beyond. It looks like they are trying to get a say on the board of directors of Bed Bath & Beyond, and possibly even a say in getting rid of some of the current executives. So this looks like it's not a move for a hostile takeover as much as it is as a hostile joining of the board. But that's just sort of speculative. What did they have to say on Form 8? That was just the earnings call. That was an earnings call. It doesn't tell you much about it. Oh, here we go. The company's April 10, 2019 press release said they were going to increase the quarterly dividend to 17 cents. Now, what should that do to the stock price if a company says we're going to increase our dividend? You remember the model? Remember that the current price is D1 over K minus G. So if they increase the stock price, that should make D1 go up, which should make the price go up. And if they are implying that they are increasing the growth rate of their dividend, that should go up, which means that whole thing should go down, which should also cause that to go up. There's two forces right there that are pointing to an increasing stock price. So what does this mean? Let me go back here to Bed Bath & Beyond, BBBY. And we'll go to the summary. Yeah, this is reflecting it. See that 68, four quarterlies of 17 cents a share makes for a 68 cent forward dividend. The factors are actually pointing to this being a growing stock, although this beta is probably going to indicate a stock market. Real quick on the beta, and I'm showing you everything. This is a kitchen sink kind of lecture right now, today. I'm going to use a CAPM to try to get an estimate of the growth rate of the stock very quickly. So, to get the discount rate that should be applied, the K in K minus G. So if I were to do a risk-free rate of 2.42%, whoops, let's try that again, 2.442 plus the beta of the stock, 1.6 times, open parenthesis, K, the expected return to the market portfolio, which is right now sitting around 9.25, minus the risk-free rate, 2.42, close the parenthesis. This is a straight-up application of the capital asset pricing model. Remember that that does, it says that the risk on a stock will be the risk-free rate, the required rate of return on a stock will be the risk-free rate times the beta of the security times expected return to the market portfolio minus the risk-free rate. So in this case, what I did was I am going to say the risk-free rate is standing right now at about 2.42% plus the beta of this stock. The expected return to the market portfolio is about 9.25% right now, minus that risk-free rate. Survey says 7.01%. Really? Is that what that did? Equals. Oh. 13.64. That's a slow stab at the K. So the expected return to the stock should be about 13.64. These analysts are saying that it's going to fall short of that. What was it? What did it come out to be? 1773 divided by 16.88. 1773 divided by 16.88 minus 1. And then you add your dividend into that, times 100. Is there some reason that nothing is happening? I'm trying to move too fast here. I got more than a few things to show you here. But 17, $17.73. Slow myself down here. 1773 divided by 16.88 minus 1 times 100 for percent plus the dividend, which is 3.78%, is 8.82. So in other words, the analysts for Google Finance are call, I'm sorry, for Yahoo Finance are calling that the expected return by the capital asset pricing model is going to be 13.68%, that's what the model would say, against what Yahoo says, it's going to be 8.82%, meaning that the Jensen's alpha on this is going to be negative 4.82%. That's Jensen's alpha. The Jensen's alpha is the difference between what happens and what CAPM says should have happened. Jensen's alpha that's negative is not a good thing at all, okay? Yeah, but maybe they're wrong. The next thing that we would want to do here, I'm almost tempted. I wonder what the growth rate. Now, the next thing we're going to do here, and I'm taking you through the financials, and we're looking at risk estimation and, cash flow estimation and risk analysis. The next thing we're going to want to do here is, first, we're relying on that 1.60 beta to be accurate. We might find in a while, well, I don't know, I shouldn't have closed that, but now let's go here. Documents. Now, I want to go back here, and let's have a look at things. The next thing we're going to want to do is find a, well, there's a 10Q. Let me find a 10K. Is there some reason why I did? See, there's the 10K. And oh, it's going south real fast, good people. Okay. Okay, now, what I'm going to look for in here is an estimate of the growth rate of the dividends. Okay, so let's see here. I want to look at the financial statements. And I'm going to look at maybe a statement of shareholders' equity, see if that would give me the dividend for the past few years. No, probably not. Statement of cash flows, comprehensive income. Statement of earnings. Do you see the dividend in here? There it is. 17, 18. That was actually a 20% jump. That's a huge growth rate. They're not going to be able to 10 over 50. So they went from 60 to 68 cents over the last. So let's see what that growth rate is. If I were to take 60, clear. 68 cents divided by 60 cents. That's a dividend growth rate, minus 1, of 13.33%. That is not going to be the final growth rate of the dividends. That's that one that was in some of your problems that I talked about in class, where you have a short period of rapid dividend growth, and then it stabilizes at a lower rate out there. So you get that stabilized rate back to where it begins, and then you take the present value of that plus the dividends before that. If I were to just take a quick stab and say, let's say that their sustained growth rate is 5%, and we'll apply that from now, then I would have a dividend, if I set a sustained growth rate of 5%, on a CAPM expected return of 13.64% currently, and the dividend at period one would be the 17 cents now times 1 plus 0.05. So that would be dividend now times 1 plus the growth rate. And then I put that in here. So what I'd have for the current price of this stock would be 17 cents per share times 1 plus 0.05 divided by K, 0.1364, minus G of 0.05. That's assuming that there's a sustained growth rate of 5% over the long haul on this stock. Now, I could do it a little bit more tightly, doing it the way we're supposed to, like you saw in those problems, but let's just see what we've got here. 0.17 times 1.05 divided by, open parenthesis, 0.1364 minus 0.05. Let's see what this application of CAPM and the constant growth dividend model for pricing stock give us. Survey says, let's try that again. No, 0.1, I'm sorry, that's not 0.17, that's 68. 68 cents per share. This is annual, that was a quarterly on that. That was a big mistake. Okay, so now a 68 dividend times 1.05, whoops, I don't want to do times, 1.05 divided by, open parenthesis, 0.1364 minus 0.05, close parenthesis. This is going to be a very low stock price on this. That's an $8.26 price. This is overvalued according to CAPM by about two times. This would, that's why everyone's shorting this. Oh, I see. Well, duh. You see why everyone's shorting it? Because the bet is it's going to downstroke hard going back towards the capital or the securities market line. That's all I can say about that.